All right, good evening. Welcome back this evening. We're glad that we can gather together and we can hear many testimonies about what the Lord has done over the past year here at WBC. Looking forward to giving Him much praise and honor for that, and just to hear the stories of how He continues to faithfully work. Before we get into that, we're going to have a few announcements to draw your attention to. First of all, reminder that next Sunday evening is our annual Children's Christmas program. Great opportunity to invite friends and family to come to see. And we want you to be able to do that. So invite them out. Hear the message of the gospel as we celebrate Christ coming to earth, Emmanuel being with us. And so afterwards, there will be a cookie fellowship. And invite you to stay for that as well. Enjoy a time of fellowship. Kayla will be organizing that. So if you want to help provide cookies or help with that in any way, please see Kayla. And she'll probably be reaching out to some of you this week to help with the organization of that. Coming up on December 21st, the next week, we'll have a special Christmas communion service in that evening. So we're looking forward to that as we look forward to Christmas that week, just spending some time worshiping, praying, and worshiping our Savior and praying that the Lord will work during that time. Also coming up in January, we want to make sure that we make this announcement. We've got track one of our counseling and discipleship training. That's January through March, every Monday night from 6 to 9. We want to invite you to be a part of that. Dave, do you have any other announcements you want to make about track one or encouragements you want to give about that? Good. Yep, that's good. So if you have any questions, you want to know a little bit more about it, you can talk to Dave, and he'll be able to get you that information. Just a reminder, from a general perspective, this is especially the fundamental tracks. They are key to understanding Scripture and how Scripture speaks to the problems of life. And so even if you don't have any intentions on formally doing any counseling, although we're all giving advice at all times in our lives, so it's good to be trained for that. Be here for your own edification, your own knowledge of Scripture. That is super helpful when thinking through that. Douglas, you were at Temple Baptist this morning. How did that go? Good.
And as I told them, like, there's, we don't want a paycheck from the church. We want to be encouraged and be exhorted one another. So I think we've seen very good on the church with us. So cool. They're investing in us and investing in us too.
Good. Praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for Douglas and Lacey as they continue to raise support and encourage churches in the process there. The senior fellowship coming up, or the fellowship coming up, what announcements we need to make about that? There you go. Wednesday, 11 to 1. Bring a dessert. So you always got to have a dessert. There you go. Anyone's invited to come to that? Anybody's invited to come to that? Over at the community center, come. That'll be a great time of fellowship there. Any other announcements or updates on ministries that we want to highlight this evening? All right, there we go. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll turn it over to Pastor. Gracious Father, what a privilege it is to serve the sovereign Almighty God, the one who is in complete control and is good and kind and loving and gracious, Lord. And we have the amazing blessing of being a part of the church, to be a part of the body of Christ, to do life together, to worship together, to encourage one another as we seek to be ambassadors for you here on this earth, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to focus our eyes to you, that we would live in the shadow of the cross and abide in the grace of your Son, Lord. And Lord, I pray that that while we are doing that, that you would use us in mighty ways, that we would be a light in the community that you have placed us, the work, the neighborhood, the family, wherever it might be, that we would seek to share the truth of your word, of your scriptures, of who you are to the lost around us, Lord. Lord, we pray that your spirit would be at work in those individuals' lives and that we would see them respond to that and believe and put their faith and trust in your Son as they seek to be a follower of you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to bless the church. We thank you so much for the way that you have provided us funds. You've provided us people. You've provided us in so many different ways. And Lord, I pray that as we have much, I pray that we would be responsible with much and that we would fulfill our mission to make disciples locally and worldwide, that you would help us to each, as you've gifted us, to play a role in that. And Lord, that we would receive much joy in living for your kingdom, Lord. And Lord, we pray for those who can't be here tonight, sickness and health issues and so many other things. Lord, we pray that you would just protect them, allow them to be know that they are missed and loved. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to minister to them in very tangible ways. Lord, we thank you again for tonight, for life and breath and everything. We ask this all in your Son's precious name. Amen.
All right. This is a special evening every year, our annual business meeting. And I'm excited for us to think about some things tonight. We've got reason to celebrate. The numbers I gave this morning, 182 and 249,600. The first number is the number of active members in the church, 182 on our roll. And the second number is the budget that you approved a year ago, 249,600. That's nearly $250,000. So the question is, what happened with those two numbers in the past 12 months? That's what we're going to think about tonight. Our mission, we think about it. It's in front of us every week. We're making disciples locally and worldwide by knowing Christ and making Christ known. So how did that happen this year? Well, we like to celebrate at WBC on this annual business meeting night, celebrate wins. We talked about that before. We love to celebrate our kids, celebrate wins in sports or academic accomplishments. Well, why not celebrate wins at WBC? So what would a win be? Well, the big win is seeing people get saved, baptized, and added to the church to the glory of God. That's cause to celebrate. But there are a lot of other wins that contribute to that type of a win, smaller wins perhaps that contribute to the bigger ones. And so we're going to celebrate wins tonight. We want to look again at just what has God done in this past year. Let me just start us off by thinking about the numbers. We believe there should be high accountability when money is given. There's accountability for what happens to it. So the budget we approved was $249,600. So what's happened since then? Did the money come in? Well, let's talk about that. Yes, it has come in. In fact, the giving general fund through November, we still have a month to go, $267,000. 347. The Lord has been so kind once again to provide our needs and beyond our needs. And so the question we're asking is, okay, what did that enable us to do? How was that money used? Every penny budgeted should help us fulfill our mission, making disciples locally and worldwide. A budget is a reflection of what we value, and we've thought about this a lot. You'll be hearing about the budget for 2026 later in the evening. But we want to look back and think about how has it been used. By the end of the year, this is what will have been spent in our general fund ministries here. Approximately $51,000 for facilities that we use to make disciples. That would include church building costs, community center costs, utilities, office supplies, equipment. $16,000 approximately for disciple-making ministries here at home. That would include our children's ministry, youth, VBS, nursery, fly, fellowship, care, hospitality, technology. These are the lines in our budget that you would see. $46,540 has gone this year towards making disciples other places, what we might think of as missions, including local disciple mission, disciple making ministries like Cradle, regional ministries like Tri-State Bible College, Scioto Hills, national ministries that help us make disciples like ACBC, international disciple making ministries through a team of approximately 20 missionaries serving around the world. I always just am amazed when I stop and just think about this. We're just, you know, we're not a large church, but we do what we God enables us to do. So 46,000, you know, goes towards missions this year, and in 10 years that's about $500,000 that's going to missions. In 20 years that's $1 million that WBC would have, you know, would give towards missions. It's a significant investment. $132,200 this year in personnel costs. That would be staff salaries, professional ministry funds, Medicare. This money, think of it in terms of equip to help us have those who equip disciple making ministries to happen. This is what our pastors and pastoral team specifically is called to do, not just do ministries, but equip the body to function, and you're going to hear examples of that here in a moment. So those are the numbers in terms of the giving. Some other numbers to consider are the man hours invested at WBC. Every week we put on our schedule between 7 and 10 hours of planned events, from prayer partners, Sunday school, morning worship, community group, second Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings, the fly, adult Bible studies. Those are our weekly events, 7 to 10 hours, that we schedule to try and accomplish our mission. And then there are other non-weekly events like this, like we heard just a moment ago, the CDT that happens in the winters, the women's prayer meetings, the men in the middle, sending our children to Scioto Hills camp. Those would be some examples of non-weekly but particularly focused events that we would put on our calendar. So those are numbers to think about. And now I just want to step back. So what has come of all of this investment of money and man hours? And to answer that question, I've invited, I think we have 10 individuals are going to share, and we could have had more. We do this regularly, so this annual business meeting, we try to pick different ministries. What is God doing at WBC as a result of the investment of our energy and money? So I'm just going to tell you what they are, so that when if you're sharing, and I've asked, you know, again, about 10 of you to do this, just hear where you're on the schedule, and just you'll come up. There won't be any introductions. So we're going to start off with our pastoral staff talking about what God has accomplished at WBC. And here's the order: through our discipleship ministries, Pastor Matt will be starting. Through our youth ministry, Michael Dow will be coming. Through our outreach ministries, Rex Howe will be coming. Through our assimilation ministries, Douglas Gonsalves will be coming and also talking about through their international efforts as they are now launching with ABWE. Through our Men in the Middle ministry, Chris Dolan will be coming. Through our adult Sunday school ministry, Dennis DeCamp will be sharing. Through our children's Sunday school ministry, Debbie Gawley will be sharing. Through our 2-2 ministry, which is designed for men, that's Dave Beam will be sharing. Through our Titus 2 ministry, that's for the ladies, Haley Bradley will be sharing. And then through our Wednesday evening fly ministry, Amy Howe will be sharing. So I'll just, here's the order of those again, and just think about who's in front of you, and you'll be able to know. So Pastor Matt, then Michael Dowell, then Rex, Douglas, Chris Dolan, Dennis, Debbie, Dave Beam, Haley Bradley, and Amy Howe. So here we go. 2 minutes each. The clock is running.
All right. So, as Pastor said, really, I'm giving an update on discipleship ministries here at WBC. And really, I feel like I'm setting up all the other things, because everything else that we're going to hear from, everyone else we're going to hear from, this is a part of the discipleship here at WBC. As Pastor mentioned, it's written up there that it's written on our wall. We see that we are making disciples locally and worldwide. And we talk a lot about that through 2 Timothy 2:2, which says, starting in verse 1, "You then, my child, be strengthened by grace and grace that is in Christ Jesus, that what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And that's the model that we continue to follow as we continue to do that. The question is, how does that happen? When we talk about discipleship, a lot of different pictures come into different people's minds. And the reality is, it's multifaceted. There's a lot of different things that are happening here. There's a lot of ways where God's word is taught, where the truth is modeled, and where people are serving with the end of seeing people grow in the knowledge and truth of Jesus Christ. Just to list a few: nursery. Yeah, I started with nursery. Nursery is not just a function to be able to do something with the kids so we can be in here without anything. No, nursery is a discipleship opportunity. Those who work in nursery are not just babysitting, but you are modeling the love of Christ to little ones at this church and providing an opportunity for their moms and dads to sit under the truth of God's word. That happens all the way through, and you can think through children's classes and fly and Sunday school classes. All of that is true. Continuing to teach and model the truth of God's word to our children and beyond, our adult Sunday school classes, preaching ministry, preachers in training, our men's ministry, women's ministry. It can go on and on, even to just the normal body life of the church, the conversations and the smiles that we have in the foyer. Those are important parts of the discipleship process. It's not just the formal sitting down, although I'm excited that we have that happening. We're going to hear a little bit more about counseling, targeted discipleship, someone who is struggling in a particular area of life, and we come alongside, disciple them to work through and teach them what the scriptures say about that particular issue. 2:2 and Titus 2 and etc. Training and teaching people in specific areas over a period of time in order to equip them to continue to minister and then teach others through this. So those areas, we've been doing those for a long time, and we continue to do those, and we put a lot of effort into those. And so we want to continue to do that. One area that I'm particularly excited about that we have grown in this past year is a little bit more described in Matthew 28:19-20. Most of you know this passage, the Great Commission: "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And it goes on talking about baptizing, evangelizing, then teaching, and doing this under the Lord's strength. And the verb in that sentence is to make disciples. Oftentimes we hear it said that what this passage is telling us to do is go. And the word "go" is there, yes, but the "go" is how we are to make disciples. And what we are to do is, as we are going through life, taking advantage of every opportunity we have to make disciples. It's the organic, natural relationships that are formed, and utilizing those relationships in order to help encourage someone to go grow closer to Christ. And that is exactly what we've been seeing more and more this year. Oftentimes they go unseen and unheard. We have the opportunity to hear about many of them, if not all of them, but not all of them, I should say. But I hear about people getting together for lunch or breakfast meetings to talk about a specific issue, or to talk about a specific truth or passage of scripture, or what they're supposed to do. I see ministry training happening as one person who's been working in a ministry for a while trains another person to do that same type of ministry. I hear about it with relationships being formed and coming together, doing Bible studies and teaching them how to study their Bible and so on. Using their workplace as an opportunity to share the gospel and to train others, not just in how to do the work that they're supposed to do, but also how to live a godly life. And we have grown in this area, and I'm excited, and I want to see us continue to grow in this area, that through the organic relationships that the Lord has given us, that we would take advantage of those to continue to encourage others with the word of God and to grow closer to Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for those of you who participated in them. I was going to list a few, but I'm going to miss some. So you guys know who you are, and those who haven't been engaging in this type of ministry, I encourage you to continue to do so and encourage you to continue to think about how can I utilize the relationships, the opportunities the Lord has given me to encourage someone in their walk with the Lord and engage in the discipleship process. So, there we go.
Good evening. All right, youth ministry at WBC. Two verses have kind of come to mind with this. 2 Corinthians 12:9, his grace is sufficient. So in whatever ministry he puts before us, his grace is sufficient for us. And his word does not return void. Isaiah 55:11. It's kind of hard to think about how exactly is God working in a ministry at times. And in the youth ministry, here at WBC, we know that he is at work, because his word is going out and it does not return void. In our teen Sunday school classes, we're going through, Old Testament Gospel Project curriculum and seeing good engagement with that. We have a good rotation of teachers, including, church leadership. So, exposing the kids to, leaders in the church that they can get to know and come to if they ever need help with anything. Youth group. So youth group. It's hard, again, to answer that question, to quantify it. We see growth. We see kids more and more becoming leaders and stepping into that kind of stuff. We actually had Colton jump up and teach Sunday school on the spot. Caitlin said, "Does anyone want to teach?" She was going to be able to teach, but he just did it, you know. So that's really cool to see that kind of thing. And to see God raising up kids. And, so being that it's hard to quantify, I just asked the kids, Caitlin and I just asked the kids, how is the Lord using this ministry in your life? And so here's what some of the kids wrote back to us. Youth group has helped me to get closer in my relationship with the Lord. It is so great to know that I have fellow believers praying for me and holding me accountable. I also feel comforted by knowing that I am not going through my struggles alone, and I have a great youth group family who care for me so much. I love and I'm so grateful for each of you. Youth group is one of the best things that has happened in my life since sophomore year in high school and has been a huge blessing in my life. I have been able to develop lifelong relationships and mentors. I even got a free hairstylist. This is not from a guy, by the way, although I could do a haircut if I had to, right? But youth group at WBC has helped me grow spiritually and mentally. I am so grateful for youth group and that we are able to be vulnerable with each other, knowing that there is no judgment. I get to hang out with my best friends and watch the Lord work in everyone. So there's, you know, we have a meal, we have discussion time, we kind of treat it like a community group and talk about the sermon. Yeah, but we also have guy-girl time where we can really apply it personally and hopefully feel more comfortable in sharing things that we're going through. And we also have a game, of course, that is youth group. But another one said, youth group has allowed me to develop relationships with people and keep me accountable to being in the Word. Another said, youth group has given me friends that keep me accountable in all areas of my life. I love that the leaders continually pray for us and encourage us in the good and the bad. It's shown me what true friends are supposed to look like and has helped me be able to put full faith into what God's plan is for me. It's also been a great way to connect with fellow believers and encourage me to stay in the Word. Youth group has encouraged me to spend more time in the Word, so thank you for all motivation to keep getting in the Bible. And I worried that this would be like tooting the horns of the leaders. And we're just remembering his grace is sufficient. This is the Lord's work in all of this. Youth group has encouraged me this year because it is a set thing every week to help me be in the Word if I struggled at all. It is a safe haven to share and support each other through communication, prayer, and Christ-centered learning. And then last, God has definitely used youth group in my life through many ways, but the two main ways are the guy-girl times and the discussions. The guy time has given a safe place to share things that I'm going through, and the discussion makes the message not only make more sense, but it also helps to stay on my mind throughout the week. So the Lord's at work in the youth ministry here. He's provided a great team, and the Groffs have been a great help to us for the last few months. And as they're moving on to where the Lord has them next, looks like Josiah will be around. So Lord willing, he'll participate, and he'll just add a lot to that, and maybe start teaching some Sunday schools. Which, by the way, if you're interested in that, especially a lady to maybe do Sunday school teaching with teens, come talk to me. But there are a lot to be encouraged by. There are discouragements at times too, and it can be hard to see how God is working. You know, just on a this isn't personal towards any kids, but just on a personal level. You know, you question yourself: Am I right for this? I didn't grow up going to youth group. I wasn't a believer. You know, a lot of this is just seeking to be faithful step by step. And just over and over again, even though there have been hard times and questions, just seeing God's grace sufficient again and again to do this ministry, seeing Caitlin grow and just her love for the kids. She says that there are kids. She loves to host and has just grown a love for the ministry. So that's another aspect of this. God is not just at work in the kids, in the recipients of the ministry, but in the leaders as well. You know, we say at camp, one of our most important ministries, yes, to campers in the summer, but it's to the staffers. That discipleship that happens is maybe one of our most profound ministries. And I think that happens at the church level as well. And it has happened for us. You know, I wish, well, we'll just leave it at that. And I've seen the Lord provide a wonderful helper, great team, and grace to encourage the kid towards him and in his word. And so his grace is sufficient. His word has not returned void. And as we seek to come alongside parents as they disciple their teens, God is at work, and we're thankful to be part of the ministry.
Good evening. Passage that has been on my heart this year in outreach is from Colossians 4. Verse starting in verse 2, where Paul asks the Colossians to pray continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So just looking for those opportunities and praying for those opportunities where God would unlock an entry. And that's been a lot of this year, just kind of trying things out, first year on the job in outreach. And so here's just some highlights. I went through our church covenant and our mission and vision statement and just kind of tried to contextualize that to doing outreach and came up with this statement: knowing Christ's love for the lost, WBC will make him known through the message and actions of outreach. And so set up four goals. The one in yellow is the one that needs the most work, I think, for 2026. We didn't really get into that as much as maybe I had hoped. So that's, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. But really four goals: biblically and contextually define for the members what is outreach. We did that during our training. And then we also did training. So we did accomplish that. And that'll be an ongoing experience for us. And then we want to mobilize our existing WBC ministries to expand their reach. So what is it that we're already doing that just one little step forward will actually make it an outreach ministry in a sense? And then create a process for recommending new outreach ministries, which we have that established as well. So defining outreach, what I came up with was it's message and actions. I mean, basically, that's what outreach is. There's one aspect of outreach that is sharing the gospel verbally. You have to share the gospel verbally, and we have been doing that. The other thing is, like we see the Good Samaritan, it does, and this is part of our church covenant too, the values in our church covenant is we are a church who cares. And that's where the prayer stations come in. That's a unique way in which a church can care for people. All other sort of nonprofits that are around don't pray for people. We do pray for people. There's lots of other things we can do to care for people. But praying is something that we can immediately do and also have a chance to share verbally the gospel. So that's something we've been doing this year a lot. We did outreach training on a number of evenings. We had a short Sunday evening series where we talked about Jonah's attitude toward reaching people. We did that early in the year. And then we had a summer Wednesday series where we specifically went through lots of elements of outreach. We looked at God's mission in Scripture. We talked about Appalachia as our context. Pastor Brad did a history of outreach at WBC, which was excellent and kind of helped us not just look at Appalachia, but who have we been in outreach historically. And then we looked at biblical principles and methods. We did the story training, which is something that specifically we'll continue to do. If you haven't done this, it's kind of like the membership class is the way I'm thinking. If you want to be a member at WBC, you come and say, hey, I want to be a member. When can we take a class? Well, if you haven't done the story training and you want to do outreach and learn how to share the gospel through the story, come find me and we'll set up a class and we'll do the story training. So we'll keep doing that. So mobilizing existing ministries, if you guys have your phones, if you don't, I can get this to you some other way, but I thought the easiest way would be to put a QR code up there and let you pull it up. And this is something where I'm kind of inviting conversation. Let's go out to coffee and talk about some of these things. I think there are lots and lots of ways where we can take something we're already doing and just with one little step turn it into outreach. And for me, and I think Chris, where's Chris? Oh, he's right there. Chris. So I don't know how you did this, but you edited one of the sermon. You got part of Pastor Brad's sermon. I saw this on Facebook. So it's already happening. Chris just did it on his own. So he took part of Pastor Brad's sermon that was like a clear gospel presentation. It was about, 45 seconds, a minute, 2.5 minutes. Okay, 2.5 minutes. So he just cut that part out and then shared it. And that's one little thing where we made the pulpit ministry all of a sudden an evangelistic ministry intentionally. So it's things like that that I think we can do more of. So is that working? Did it work? Okay, great. So you can see, these are just some ideas. There's probably a million other ideas, but, if this is something that you'd like to talk more about, come and find me. There's even an idea in my mind that we could kind of have like an informal steering committee for outreach that would help me kind of narrow ideas instead of having, two pages of ideas. We could narrow down and focus on how do we take existing things and then multiply it for outreach. We do have this. So these are existing ministries, things we're already doing. But if there's something like an idea that you have, that's brand new. We're not really doing anything like this. I have created a form that really helps us evaluate, is this a fit? Is this a fit for who we are as a church and our mission and vision? And it really makes you really put down in detail what it is exactly you're asking us to do. And so if you have something like that, we do have a form that you can complete, and then we can meet and work through that. Because we don't want to be turned off to new things, but we want to really think those things through before we put the time and effort and money and manpower, woman power into it to pull it off. So that form's available and ready to go. So what did we do this year? Well, we had two summer flea market outreaches, one in June, one in August. We prayed with at least 50 households that I counted, maybe more than that. And then we evangelized many. Not all of the people that we prayed for wanted to have a gospel conversation, but many of them did. And actually, I wanted to have Ray come up for just a second, if you would, Ray. Because Ray has been my right-hand man on a lot of these things. I've been pleasantly blessed by evangelizing with Ray. And I just want him to share about your experience.
Thank you. And it was an experience. We were at the flea market on a Thursday, and we had a gentleman come up to us and start talking. And he says, "Oh, I study religion, Eastern religion." So he starts talking about his Eastern religion, and I go, "This is over my head." But I watched. I watched Rex and him communicate. And Rex would say, "I don't know that. I don't understand that. Yes, I've heard of that." And the gentleman went through all of his religious studies. And then Rex says, "Well, can I introduce you to my God?" So he takes his Bible and he opens it up. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to drop your pages. And he starts reading the gospel. And the guy steps back and he goes, "I've never heard that before." I thought, oh, what a blessing. Just that short period of time, listening, I observed him. He listened intently to what the guy had to say. And then he said, "Let me show you my God." And it's a simple. It's not that hard to do. It's just the courage to do it. An honor. Thank you.
Amen. So that's what we're doing. We're listening to people. And part of this year was get to know our people. Like, who lives here? One of the things that we kept hearing, a number of us who are at the flea market, is when we say, "Can we pray for you?" Say, "I'm what? I'm okay." And Ray had the idea, I think it was you, that said, "Let's ask them if they're ready." And we had one guy who walked by and he said, "I'm okay." And I said, "I'm going to try Ray's theory here. But are you ready?" And he stopped. He stopped in his tracks and he looked at me. And then he walked off, but what, 5-10 minutes later, he came back. He said, "I'm not ready." So I shared the gospel with him. He didn't pray to receive Christ, but he received a clear gospel presentation. And so we're learning about our community. We had a tailgate at the Wheelersburg West football game. We learned some. It was a success in that we did get to pray with a few groups. And very intentionally, I know Brad's neighbor was there, a small group of young men, and then a father and a son-in-law. We had really good conversations. We didn't have a lot of conversations, and strategically, we just weren't in a good spot to have those conversations. So we'll think about, is that a good way to go about it next year, or should we do something different? But we did follow up well. I mean, every time we got a completed contact card, that individual got something in the mail from us and a phone call or text if it was a mobile number. So we are following through. We're praying that the Lord is working through this ministry, and we'll continue into the future. Thank you.
Good evening. All right. So first, I will talk about my role as a pastor, assimilation pastor. So my role here is just like see the visitors and see who are the new people around and connect with them. And I go introduce myself. I hear their stories. I tell my stories. And then from those conversations, I catch who is Jesus for them. And then where they are on their walk. And then from there, I start to see what ways, one, I can encourage them to walk close to God or to know God. And the second one is how can they now become as they members of this church. So I have the privilege to connect with many people the last 2 years. And it's been a joy because it grows closer, the relationship. And also, it helps us all to know how to serve them better. So I'm looking around and I can see at least 6 or 7 families here. They are here because of the grace of God granted us the opportunity that we had the doors open for them, and then we connect with them. And now they're members of this church serving us, and we're serving one another. We're steering each other up, one, to love God with all their hearts, to love people and serve the people, because we're saved and people that are saved serve. And so we're trying to serve one another. And it's been a joy to see the growth. If you would like to be part of this ministry, I this week had to catch up on cards and people that we are seeing a large increase of visitors. And so if you want to be part of this, I would love to connect with you. Because God has been granted us a season of rejoicing opportunities to not just add people to the church, but invest in people that will go away and reproduce and multiply others to the glory of God. And then the second part I want to talk about is God has granted us through this the ministry of you guys, this church, to have full assurance of what the directions of our lives would look like, and conversations from being with you guys and your wisdom, your prayers led us to say yes to the call to go. As hard as that sounds, when something is good, you don't like to leave. And I see so much joy and vibrant relationships growth with God, people longing for and going deeper in the relationship with God. So, but with that, your ministry in our lives led us to say yes to missions. And by the grace of God, He granted us talents to do that. He granted us wisdom also too, and also opportunities that we already had connections there too. And you guys have been blessing financially us so well. You guys is just committed to a large amount of our support raising, and that's incredible for us. You know, we have 170 members, and just to see the financial amount that you guys consider to be faithful to us is just incredible. So thank you.
Good evening, everyone. So for those of you who are not familiar with the Men in the Middle, it was started a few months back. It was born out of a desire to serve and strengthen the bond between brothers of all ages in the church, but especially those that fall between the high school group and the senior fellowship group that meets on Wednesdays. It was designed to give those men another opportunity in addition to Sunday school and community groups and all the great ministries that we already offer at WBC, but it was one that was a little more private in that it was away from our families, just men with a space to open up about themselves and discuss certain themes. It isn't the first time that something like this has been available here, but maybe it's been a few years, and so it felt like the good time to do that again. The short-term goal, as I mentioned, it was primarily to understand each other on a deeper level, and also maybe get some guys to open up that otherwise wouldn't have opened up, with the long-term goal being a stronger network to call upon for, you know, help in specific areas of our lives, but also a group of men who would be willing to jump into studies together, do service projects together, and maybe build up some confidence for some outreach opportunities with Rex. We'd like to see it go that direction. We've met twice in the community center, with just donuts and coffee, but it's been a great joy to use the facilities that we have. So, you know, we have great facilities here and looking forward to continuing to use them for the Lord's work. And I don't know, maybe do something in the gym someday. But in the two meetings that we've had, we've had really great turnout. And sort of in an unexpected way, included some faces that we haven't seen in a while. Some men who, as Brad preached on this morning, maybe grew slowly unfocused, grew distracted and drifted away. And so to see those men using that opportunity, you know, outside of a Sunday service to sort of ease back into the Church of Christ has been an unexpected blessing. In addition to some really fruitful open discussion, we've heard four very powerful testimonies with some great Q&A to follow those. Two of those testimonies were actually prepared and shared for the first time. There were some life experiences that were shared for the first time. So it was really great to see the Lord working in those men, emboldening them to share their story, to share himself through them. It was really great. The result of our short time together so far has, I think, been greater than we could have hoped for, with all of the men echoing the same sentiment, which is that I knew him. You know, I've known him for years, but I didn't actually know him. And now I feel like I know him. As a brother, I feel like I know my brothers better. So that's really has been encouraging. And we just pray that the Lord continues to work in this way. But yeah, it's been a blessing, and I'm excited to see how it continues. Thank you.
We almost got a timer on me, so I need to start right now. Okay. I wrote it down so I would not move away. So when I think about our Sunday school class, I'll think about ours. I'm sorry about Ray, your class. I know what goes down there, but I'll just report about ours. All right. So our Sunday school class, I think about the special time our class is allowed to experience each Sunday morning. It is not just about studying the scripture. It's the special time that we have before this time, study time begins. We just notice our class gets there early and early just to have that time of fellowship. There's a time to build into each other's lives. We always have a special time of taking prayer requests. And as important, we've been beginning to take praises. And there are times that we have twice as many praises as we do have prayer requests. And it's a blessing to hear what we consider praises in our lives. From our people in our Sunday school class, family members they may have, and friends. And we just remind that each and every time God is so good to us. Greg Thompson is a tremendous servant. Every Sunday he is here. He has coffee back there waiting for our people, and I think that's why our numbers have grown so much. And he brings, this is not for diabetics, I'll tell you that now, and just nice treats each and every week. We thank Greg for that. We study the scripture through expository manner, as Pastor Brad's taught us for years, taking verse at a time and taking time to discuss what God has intended for us to learn. We learn that we are no different than the people, and Pastor was talking about this a little bit today in the service today. We're no different now than the people were back then, and we just need to continue to learn that we are all dependent on our Lord to continue to guide our lives each and every day. For the past 20 years, I've kept attendance of our record, record attendance of our class, and we've, I looked at 2005. We were at 9.3 people. I can tell you who that 0.3 person was, but I don't have time right now. And then we're up to 27, And it's been a tremendous blessing to see our Sunday school class grow. We took that wall out several years ago, and then we were really there for a while. I think we had to move someplace else, but we're still average about 27 per class, even though we're still known as a home builders class. Since the average age is above 60 years old, we may need to think about changing the new name. If you are in our, if you are 60 plus in our class and you're thinking about starting a family, Dave Beam and Pastor Brad and Barb may be available for counseling, all right? So our teachers, Dave Bowe, Dave Beam, and myself, if your name does start with D, please see me. You might be one of our teachers next, all right? And then I've been blessed to teach the class the past several years, and we go from book to book. We're in 2 Timothy right now. We were in Ephesians for what, Dave? I think we were in Ephesians about 6 years, I believe. They always talk about Ephesians. That must have made an impact in their lives. Jack Branham was our previous teacher. Can't say, I got to spend 20 minutes talking about him, but he was a true lover of God's word and was a tremendous teacher. Two main reasons to attend our Sunday school is one of the fellowships you enjoy each week, and second is the study of God's word. And if you don't attend Sunday school, we encourage you to find a class and begin attending each week. You will grow to love one another and to learn what it is to follow God's word. And I ask, we have some emotional times in our class. And one who talks about just the blessing it is Pam Kurtz. And she wrote something for me. She says, Sunday school is what I look forward to every week. The teaching and fellowship have had such an impact on my life. I'm so thankful for the men who study every week and bring the word to us. It's a great way to start my week. And if you are not attending a Sunday school class, please try to find time in your schedule to do that, because it's about learning the word, but it's also about just building into one another's lives. Thank you.
So I get to, yeah, a little bit. All right, so I get to represent the younger kids, Sunday school class teachers. And if you remember, a few years ago, we as a church were praying for kids for our church. You know, we would prepare our Sunday school lesson, get to church, and sometimes there would be no kids at all. I'm like, this is not right. This is not us making disciples when we don't have anyone to disciple. So about a year or so ago, we had kids and we needed teachers, so we were praying for teachers. And I'm happy to report that we have a good group of faithful teachers now and a steady group of kids that come. So Fox teaches the preschool, Sunday school, and she usually has 4 to 6 kids every week. Andrea Willis teaches the kindergarten through second grade, and they run about 4 to 6 also each week. And then I teach the third grade through the sixth grade. Occasionally we'll have a sixth grader that stays around a little bit longer past sixth grade. That's fine till they're ready to move up to the youth group. But I can run usually 6 to 10 in that. So if you come up in the morning on Sunday mornings, the Sunday school wing is busy. It's noisy because we're in there teaching. We're doing the activities that come with our Sunday school materials, and it's just great to see the enthusiasm of the kids. We also have a steady group of ladies that will help us as substitutes, which is something that we needed. So Leah Chikunke, Brooke Bruns, Kaylee Haney have all stepped up and help us when one of us needs to be out, because we have a lot of kids that we can't just combine anymore to easily combine, because there's too many kids, which is a good thing. So we're tremendously thankful for the way God has blessed and sent families to our church, and families who will bring their kids into Sunday school so that we have the ability to teach them. In the past year, we have changed out our materials. We have been using the Gospel Project, which is great materials, but we had gone through multiple rotations of it. They had changed up the material just a little bit, and we wanted to give a try to some new materials, which we may stick with, or we may go back to the Gospel Project. But currently, right now, we're using some Answers in Genesis materials. And it thrills me that the materials come with class notes where we fill in the blanks in Sunday school and we read the Bible passages, and then the materials are set up with a lot of questions. So it's the kids can't just really sit back and not participate. We're asking questions, trying to get them to really think about what they've read and start applying it and really understand what the Bible is saying. I have to say the material comes with a lot of printed slides where the Bible verses are on the slides. And initially when we got it, I thought, well, that'll be good. I can hand out the slides and it'll save us a little bit of time from the kids looking up the verses in the Bible. So I went through one or two weeks of that, and one of the kids said, how come we're not reading out of the Bible? And I said, would you rather read out of the Bible? And they were like, yes, we want to read out of the Bible. So I made, there goes the slides. We're back into reading out of the Bible, which is great because we have the list of the books of the Bible, and we can talk about what part of the Bible it comes from and really get them in there learning how to use their Bible with that. So we really appreciate the support from the parents, and we appreciate what God is doing in the lives of our children and what they're learning.
Well, it's good to be here again with you. I'm here to talk about the 2-2 ministry, and you may not know what that is. It comes from 2 Timothy 2:2 about faithful men passing the faith along. And the question I have for you on this is, what would cause typical American Christian guys that are busy and have a very busy schedule to get up on a Saturday morning, no matter what the weather, and drive here and sit out here in the foyer together for an hour and a half and talk about articles that are typically 10 to 20 pages long and not always the easiest to read about the Bible? That's 2-2. But the question that should be in your mind is why? And here's why. The men in this church love God's Word. They love each other, but they love God's Word, and that's what brings us together. And if you're a guy that says, I want to sit for an hour to an hour and a half once a month, 9 months out of the year, and talk about the substantive things of the Scripture, pastor brings that to us, it brings up questions. We're very clear in what we believe here. And he has assembled a 3-year program for men to sit and talk about these things from the Scriptures. The first section that we do is a fill-in-the-blank type thing, but you are studying and preparing to come. So they're not just giving up an hour and a half on Saturday in the morning, probably an hour to 2 hours of study to be prepared for that. Because these articles aren't brief, and if you're going to get something out of them, you have to take some time. And you have to spend time in the Scripture to prepare the first part, which is the Bible, kind of like Debbie's Sunday school class, where we're going to use the Bible. We start with the Bible. But then we have theologians and men of the Word that have given their articles that pastor has chosen in this program to talk about the deeper, more substantive. I say deep, they're not esoteric or out here. They're foundational truths that this church holds to, foundational truths of the gospel and the Scripture. So if you have an interest in that, contact me. We'll get a group started. It's usually 3 to 4 men. We have 7 people in the process right now, and we're finishing up a third year. So thank you.
So Dave just talked about the men, so we do the Titus 2 group, and it's for the women of the church. So Titus 2 is a group that helps teach women how to teach women to make the teaching about God our Savior attractive as instructed in Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. And with the Titus 2, 3 through 5 in the NIV, it says, "Likewise, teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God." So Dave is a leader of his group, and Becky Goodman is a leader of the group that I'm currently in. And so in our group, we have Becky, myself, Lacey, and Jennifer Bradley. I've enjoyed our time in the Word and our interactions with each other. We have gotten to know each other more and have been there to support one another. Like a lot of people have said, we are called to build the body and to hold each other accountable. That's one good thing I like about this study and this group is that we meet actually once a month during Sunday school on Sundays from 9 to till church time. And it's just a time that we can do prayer requests and get to know one another and to be there that you may be able to tell people a little bit more about yourself than into a bigger group of the church. It's been beneficial to do the session and to talk about it together to gain insight. You may read an article or passage of scripture and you may not have thought of something that someone else may have thought of. So it's very beneficial. Doing the Titus 2 study has helped me be committed to the word. The research has helped me take a deeper dive than just reading the scriptures. I feel like I've gained more theological knowledge doing this study. I'm glad that Rebecca has been willing to lead our group, and I would recommend that all women do this. We're also in our third year, and we're halfway through, so we're in session, I believe, 5, maybe coming up. So I've always wanted to do this study. We've been members of the church for 15 years, and I'm glad that Bethany, I don't know who actually started us doing it a couple of years ago, but I'm very glad that we were able to do this because it's really not easy. Like Dave said, you have to be committed to read the scriptures, do a little bit more digging, and then read the articles. The articles are from like in the 80s and the 90s, but they are so relevant to today. And they're not just simple that you can just read them real fast. You need to actually pay attention. So if you've not done it, I would highly recommend that you participate in the Titus 2 for the women. Thank you.
Hello, so I am Amy Howe. I'm over the FLY ministry. FLY stands for Faith, Life, and Youth. And we focus on the preschoolers through the sixth graders, the Wednesday night program. We start off usually all together here. I remember, Rex, I was thinking when we first started, we were down, I call it the blue Sunday school room. Nobody else does, and they always look, but I don't know what the room's called. But downstairs in the blue room is where we all met and how quickly we outgrew that room. And so we meet for our large group time in the sanctuary. Rex usually leads them through a different topic of the night. We have been studying the law this year, and now we're on truths about Christ. We go through truths every week. We have a different truth about something about God, an attribute of God. We do our FLY theme verse, which is John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That is what we're wanting to teach these kids. Because of FLY, through FLY, to know Jesus Christ. And then we have a different verse every week that they memorize, with motions. But we go further than that. We go further than just learning the verse. We then want to dig into that verse. So Rex will talk a large point in a large group, and then we break out into sessions. The preschoolers go with Mary. She does a great job with the little ones. And then the first, second, third graders go to game time. The fourth, fifth, and sixth graders go into small group time, boys and girls, and then they switch. But in small group time, we take the theme verse of the week and our flight pattern of the week. Everything in fly is around jets and airplanes and anyway. So we take the flight pattern of the week, the verse of the week, and then we dive into it more. So it's more than just memorizing that verse. We really want to teach kids how to be discipled. How do I study the Bible? What truths do I see in this verse? How can I apply these truths to my life this week? What changes am I going to make this week? So it's more than just memorizing. It's digging into the verse for themselves. We have on average, I would say, between 45 and 65 kids coming out every Wednesday. It can get crazy in here. I was also thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, volunteers, but I would say about a third of our kids are from our church. A third of our kids are churched other places that just don't have a home Wednesday night to go to. And I'd say about a third of our kids are not churched at all. And so they can come and they just have a great time. We have 23 boys coming in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, and it can get insane. Poor Ken and Jared, they were dealing with all these boys. I'm like, okay, I'm cutting this group in half. This is chaos. It is absolute chaos. So Rex and I took half of those boys and Ken and Jared up half of them. But they've been asking us questions like, what happens when I die? What happens if I find that I'm struggling in my faith, that I'm doubting? What happens if I'm doubting God? How do I know Christianity is the actual true religion? Why isn't Hinduism real? And I'm like, okay, that was not our flight pattern this week, but okay, here we go. So they ask some amazing questions, and I think all the leaders, Andrea, Bethany, Reagan, Ken, can attest to, whoever, if I missed you, I'm sorry, if I can attest to, like, they are hungry for the word. They really are. It's been a joy to have them. It is pure chaos down there if you come downstairs on Wednesday night. I am thankful to the church members. They can be hard on this building. We've had some issues this year. No, please don't draw things on the bathroom stalls into the paint. No, please don't pee on the floor in the bathroom. No, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. But they, you know, they're kids and they are kind of rough on the building. We try to rein it in as we can, but thank you so much for your patience with them. It is a blessing to see them grow and to be hungry for the word. And yeah, so thank you.
Wow. To God be the glory, man. I am so thankful for what God's doing in the church. And I was just thinking, and we weren't here for three months of this year. This is like, you don't need us. Like, God's raised up a wonderful team here. I'm just so, to God be the glory, but can I use the word so proud of you, what I see God doing through this body right now. So that's what God's done in 2025. To him be the glory for it. Now, 2026 is in front of us, which means we have a slate of officers to present to you and a proposed budget, both of which were presented and placed on the bulletin board 2 weeks ago. You've had opportunity to consider those, but here's how the process works. Again, back in September, we started working on this. Budget and nomination committees were put in place. You were given opportunities to submit requests or recommendations regarding funding for different ministries, lines in the budget, and then also to give recommendations concerning people that you'd like to see serving in different capacities. And a lot of work's gone in to prepare what you're receiving now this evening. The combined board is also involved in this process and is recommending what we are presenting to you, both in terms of budget and nominations. So if you'll go ahead, men, and pass out, you have to be a member, an active member of WBC age 15 or older to vote on this tonight. So if you're in that category, once you receive the half sheet, which is the ballot itself, the half sheet is the ballot. You've already received the financial or the proposed budget as you were coming in. Joe, do you have some other copies in case of need? So let's not vote until make sure we have the ballots in front of us, and then I'll walk you through this process. The nominations itself, you'll see we've listed on the half sheet the deacons. We have currently six deacons with existing terms. Other new deacons were considered and approached, and there's no new deacons to be presented tonight. We will entertain in a moment if there's someone from the floor that you would like to nominate from the floor, a person pending they've agreed to be nominated. We can consider that. You'll see our trustees. Trustees serve with 2-year renewable terms, and those that are being renewed, and then Randy Mullins has agreed to be nominated as he's been a trustee before, but he's not been recently, so that would be a new name. You'll see Dave Bowe as the existing trustee that has an existing term. And then the following positions: treasurer, head usher, Sunday school superintendent, and church clerk. Those are 1-year terms, and you see the individuals.